Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 17th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemire.
And this is Ndimiake Mwakalielie.
Here are our top stories this evening.
More than 300 Zimbabweans staged a peaceful protest today in Harare outside the offices of the South African High Commission, calling an end to the current xenophobic attacks in that country.
Definitely we are receiving the communication and will forward it directly to our government for it to look at it, and they will come back to you.
ZANU-PF says Zimbabweans should commemorate the country's Independence Day tomorrow with pride, as thousands of black farmers now own arable land which was once in the hands of colonial settlers.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we use once every year to look back on our history, how far we've come, how much we've managed to achieve.
And some MDCT supporters say they're against the party's move to shun parliamentary by-elections.
More than 300 Zimbabweans staged a peaceful protest today in Harare outside the offices of South African High Commission and handed over a petition to the country's ambassador, calling an end to the current xenophobic attacks in that country, which have left at least one Zimbabwean dead and almost 800 displaced. Our correspondent Mavis Gama reports from Harare.
In the petition, the protesters that were drawn from 31 civil society organizations urged South Africa to protect Zimbabweans and other foreigners who are being attacked by local people, claiming that they have grabbed their jobs and lucrative businesses. They sang revolutionary songs denouncing President Jacob Zuma's government, while at the same time urging President Robert Mugabe to sort out Zimbabwe's crippling socio-economic and political challenges in order to ensure that locals can find better jobs in the country instead of migrating to South Africa. The petition was received by Deputy Commissioner Pumla Andy Makwabe in the presence of the Mayor of Harare, Bernard Manyanyeni.
Your Worship, thank you so much for this opportunity, for coming and informing us what is happening in Harare. Yes, there are people that came. Definitely we are receiving the communication and will forward it directly to our government for it to look at it, and they will come back to you. So there will be information that will be communicated through the government of Zimbabwe and also for His Worship to understand.
Police, who had earlier on denied the protesters permission to engage in the street marches, monitored the situation to ensure that no one was harmed. Pride Mkono, who was one of the protesters, condemned the xenophobic attacks and urged the Zimbabwean government to address the country's economic meltdown as a way of curbing the mass migration of locals to South Africa.
That we as citizens of Zimbabwe have a responsibility both to demand the right to work, which is enshrined in the constitution of this land, from our government, so that our brothers can come back from South Africa and be able to make a choice in Zimbabwe, whether they want to work here or not.
Another Zimbabwean who also took part in the street protest was Maureen Kademaunga. She expressed unhappiness over the xenophobic attacks and the situation back home.
I'm very angry because right now these xenophobic attacks that are happening mainly on Zimbabweans and Somalians. And we know the reason why Zimbabweans are in South Africa is because our own government has let the economy plunge into an economic crisis, into a serious crisis, and they can't provide jobs for us. What we want from Mr. Mugabe is for him, as the chair of the SADC and the chair of the AU, and to make sure that the South African government is, we believe that the South African government has been complacent and it is allowing this to happen because they also don't want the political pressure on their own government from their own people. So they've allowed our people to be the scapegoats. And this must stop. Xenophobia must stop. We are Africa and we are all Africans.
In the petition, the protesters said the South African government has a legal obligation to protect all immigrants under its own laws and international statutes. They also urged that country to investigate the xenophobic attacks and arrest those responsible for the violence. The march was almost disrupted by ZANU-PF youths who were angered by some T-shirts worn by protesters calling on the Zimbabwe government to find protest leader Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square campaign, who was allegedly abducted by state security agents more than a month ago. Reports say there are still some xenophobic attacks going on in South Africa today, despite an appeal by President Jacob Zuma for an end of the violence. Meanwhile, in a statement released today, the United States Embassy condemned the violence against foreigners taking place in KwaZulu-Natal and other parts of South Africa. The embassy said the U.S. remains concerned at the loss of innocent lives, destruction of property, and impact on families and communities. It urged individuals involved to refrain from all forms of violence and exercise restraint and rely on peaceful dialogue to resolve any differences. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Mavis Gama.
Now back here in Washington, D.C., some protesters are at the Zimbabwean embassy right now where they're protesting against the disappearance of protest leader Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted by suspected secret agents more than 1 month ago. We have our reporter, Chris Gande, who is currently monitoring the situation there. Hi, Chris. Tell us what's happening.
Hi, Ndimiyake. I am outside the Zimbabwe embassy, and a handful of protesters and the protest has been organized by the MDC America. And what's happening right now is that the protesters came with a petition, and they were trying to hand it over to the embassy staff, but they found the gate locked.
And I understand you have some of the organizers with you there. Can we speak with one of them?
Yes, I'll hand you over to the chairman of the MDC America branch, Mr. Dan Moyo.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Moyo.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good. May you tell us the reasons why the embassy closed early today? Was it that they wanted to avoid you, or it was just by coincidence?
It could have been by coincidence. We're not sure. We wrote to them and told them that we'll be visiting after we checked that they closed at 4 or 9, and therefore we're going by that time, and we told them we'll be here at the time that we're here, and we're surprised to find the embassy doors locked.
So are you going to do anything with regards to the petition that you wanted to hand over to the ambassador?
Oh, yes. We still are going to go ahead and make sure that sometime during the week, next week, we come back and reissue the petition earlier than maybe the time that we came. And also, we know that tomorrow there's Independence Day celebrations that have been planned at the park, and that the ambassador will be at those celebrations. We intend to go and meet him there and hand over the petition at that celebration. So if the media can follow us there also, that would be helpful.
Okay. Mr. Moyo, just briefly before you go, if you can just tell us again the objective of this petition that you wanted to deliver to the ambassador.
The petition is what has been going on in Zimbabwe and around the world, that it is time for electoral reforms in Zimbabwe. Because as most of us know, that the elections that were conducted in 2013 were rigged, and that countries like the USA and other progressive countries have not respected those elections or endorsed them. And we therefore want electoral reforms that are going to guarantee the people of Zimbabwe a free and fair election. Further to that also, we are demanding the return of Itai Dzamara, who is a human rights activist that has also been pushed to the same agenda that we are pushing.
Thank you so much, Mr. Moyo. I would like to also thank our reporter, Chris Gande, who is at the Zimbabwe Embassy in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Chris.
Yes, thank you so much to the both of you. Now, meanwhile, South Africa's Trade and Industry Minister, Rob Davis, who is currently in Washington for the 2015 spring meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, say while the government of South Africa has condemned the violence, there is need to address the underlying cause of such attacks, which he attributes to poverty and inequality.
xenophobic attacks are awful incidents that ought not to take place, and we have, as a government, we've come out against those. There should not be physical attacks on foreign people, whoever they are, however they got into the country. But I think the point that I was making earlier is simply that we need to understand that there will be economic migration to our country as long as there are problems of poverty and joblessness in other countries as well as in our own. So it's just another reason why we need to work together.
That was South Africa's Trade and Industry Minister, Rob Davis, speaking with Studio 7 from Washington, D.C.
ZANU-PF says Zimbabweans should commemorate the country's Independence Day tomorrow with pride, as thousands of black farmers now own arable land which was once in the hands of colonial settlers. The party's deputy information director, Psychology Mazwisa, told Studio 7 today the theme of this year's independence anniversary is Zimbabwe at 35, consolidating unity, peace and economic development. He speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about this year's independence celebrations held annually at the National Sports Stadium.
We're going to be celebrating. The president will come through. He will give us his reflections on what he believes we have done so far, and he will make the way forward in terms of the agenda, really, in terms of our economic prosperity, the agenda in terms of improving the livelihoods of the Zimbabwean people, urging our young people really to emulate the principles of our liberation and making sure that we defend our independence and sovereignty.
Do you think that many people are going to attend?
We are going to have a record crowd tomorrow, and you need only to be there to see. I feel sorry for you guys who are broadcasting from the United States of America, but you simply need to be there tomorrow to see what we mean. This is a moment for everybody to celebrate, especially to celebrate President Mugabe's leadership, to celebrate this timely celebration coming as it does, as President Mugabe was elected as chairman of SADC and as chairman of the AU. Major, huge milestone, which we are obviously coming together tomorrow to celebrate and appreciate. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we use once every year to look back on our history, how far we've come, how much we've managed to achieve economic development for the people. And so this is an opportunity really for everybody across the political divide to come in recognition of our independence, in recognition of the efforts, the sterling efforts of President Comrade Robert Mugabe, and really to come together as one people, as a nation, to commemorate and to appreciate the deeds of the president in particular. I want really to appeal to the younger population, the youth, really to say this is an opportunity, firstly, to reflect on what has been achieved so far, but secondly, and more importantly, really to emulate the good deeds of President Robert Mugabe, his selflessness.
That was Psychology Mazwisa, ZANU-PF Deputy Information Director, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
Now, as Zimbabwe commemorates its 35th independence anniversary, some economists and local people say there is nothing to celebrate due to the current hardships faced by millions of jobless people and families wallowing in poverty. Our correspondent in Harare, Ivan Chifera, reports.
The late Tanzanian President Julius Mwalimu Nyerere, soon after independence, said Zimbabwe was the jewel of Africa. Zimbabwe had vibrant industries, an internationally acclaimed social security net, and abundant natural resources. Some Zimbabweans now say the country's economy, which is also controlled by international market forces, has degenerated to unprecedented levels over the years under a black government. Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe says there's been no significant economic development over the years.
In terms of the economy, I think there's really nothing to celebrate. Even when you look at the wage levels, we actually worse off now than we were in, say, 1978, 1979, or even 1975. Real wages in 78 were actually higher than they are right now. So even for workers, they are actually worse off than they were in the colonial government. Of course, we thank God for the political freedom, but we need to translate this political freedom into tangible economic deliverable.
Tambara says most, if not all, policies implemented by the government since independence have not resulted in significant investment and economic development.
So the policies that government has introduced have not really dealt with those key binding constraints to investment. That's why investors will not come to Zimbabwe, because it's costly relative to countries like, say, Zambia, Mozambique, or even South Africa. So that's why when you look at the foreign direct investment inflows into sub-Saharan Africa, countries like Mozambique are doing very, very well. Even Zambia is doing well, because at least they've created an environment that provides incentives for investors.
Independent economic commentator Masimba Kuchera concurs the nation's economy is in a sorry state.
Unfortunately, the cumulative policies of government, most probably since the Economic Structural Adjustment Program in 1990, have made it very difficult for the economy to develop and achieve the potential that a lot of people have always talked about.
Kuchera and Chitambara strongly believe that unbudgeted payments of gratuities to former liberation war fighters in 1997, Zimbabwe's intervention in the civil war in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 1998, and the implementation of the Economic Structural Adjustment Program devastated the country's economy. Chitambara says the country's land reform program accelerated Zimbabwe's economic decline.
So I think for me that really had a negative impact on the agricultural sector, not just agricultural sector, but also on the rest of the economy, because as you know, agriculture is the mainstay of the Zimbabwean economy. So when agriculture sneezes, it means the rest of the economy catches a cold. Almost overnight, we became a net food importer. Because remember, before 2000, we were actually a net food exporter.
The nation abandoned its currency in 2009 due to historic hyperinflation. Hundreds of companies have shut down since independence due to lack of capital and other issues. Harare resident Pestunia Shumba says, given the current state of affairs in the country, there won't be anything to celebrate when Zimbabwe turns 35 on Saturday.
We cry of a fallen economy, and we are all becoming vendors, and we really wonder who is going to buy from who, because the state of the economy is worrisome, and companies are closing each day, people are being booted out of their workplaces, and we really don't know how we're going to fare for the next coming years.
But for 36-year-old Harare businessman Simbara Shingarande, there is a lot to celebrate, as the government has created business opportunities for local blacks, something they were denied during the colonial era. He says Zimbabweans are now proud owners of land and businesses thanks to the independence brought by President Robert Mugabe and his fellow liberation war fighters. But economists say the government must take drastic measures in order to improve the economy, burdened by a debt of almost $9 billion. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
And here is what one Zimbabwean also said about Independence Day commemorations.
My name is Vegezela Matumafuzwayo. For me, Independence Day means a day in which we should be proud to be Zimbabweans, a day where we should all identify ourselves as true Zimbabweans and be proud to be Zimbabweans. But judging from the way things stand right now in our country, the rate at which people are leaving the country, the rate at which the economy is going down, the rate at which the country is failing in all aspects, tells a message that perhaps Zimbabwe has not yet attained the kind of independence that the people of Zimbabwe, were hoping for. This tells a story that perhaps there is still another part of independence that our people need to fight for. Besides, we'll just say Happy Independence Day, Zimbabwe, and let's remember we still need to fight the battles that we haven't won to attain our full independence.
We will air more Independence Day messages here on Studio 7 tomorrow.
Meanwhile, the opposition MDCT says Zimbabweans should take time tomorrow to commemorate the country's independence, though the country believes that President Robert Mugabe's party has abandoned the principles of the liberation struggle based on one person, one vote. The party said in a statement, quote, "The colonial political administration was replaced by an equally oppressive indigenous administration, allergic to difference and freedom of political thought," end quote.
And in an Independence Day message today, U.S. President Barack Obama says the United States will continue to support the people of Zimbabwe as they strive to fulfill the promise set forth at independence of a democratic and prosperous nation.
Coming up,
some MDCT supporters are unhappy about the party's stance to shun parliamentary by-elections. Stay tuned for this tomorrow on Studio 7.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
An Ohio man accused of plotting to commit terrorism in the U.S. after traveling to Syria for terrorist training has pleaded not guilty at an arraignment today.
Votes are being counted in Sudan after 4 days of casting ballots in national elections this week, a process troubled by poor turnout and an opposition boycott of the polls. While results are not expected until later in the month, they are expected to include victories for incumbent President Omar al-Bashir and his ruling National Congress Party.
And UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has called for an immediate ceasefire in Yemen, where a Sunni Arab-led coalition is conducting airstrikes against Shiite rebels.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
A 35 years down the line, Zimbabwean sport is in disarray. Reporter Michael Cariati takes a look at what has gone wrong since independence in 1980.
The women's hockey team lit up what looked like a promising Zimbabwe's entry into the international sports arena with a gold medal at the 1980 Olympic Games in Moscow, only 3 days after Zimbabwe had attained its independence on 18 April. The goalkeeper of the team, Sarah English, says the gold medal at the Olympics was the most memorable occasion in her life.
You won a gold medal, never mind for, you know, just your country. This was Zimbabwe, this was new, this was everything.
Veteran Sports Administrator Albert Namwebonde reflects that everyone, Asians, blacks, coloureds and whites, were united as they celebrated what is probably one of the most remembered sporting successes in Zimbabwean history.
When they came back, the Minister of Sports at that time hosted a reception where I don't know how many cattle were slaughtered to celebrate the gold medal. It was wonderful.
As the country went on to achieve more early successes in other sporting disciplines, including cricket and rugby, they represented the continent at the 1987 and 1991 World Cup finals, while the cricket team was among the best in the world, with outstanding players as Duncan Fletcher, Andy Prycroft and Dave Horton. Not to be outdone was the Davis Cup team that reached the quarterfinals of the World Group, while Zimbabwean boxers Langton Schoolboy Tinago, Proud Jinembiri and Styx McLeod were chart-busting with Africa and Commonwealth titles. Zimbabwe also went on to create world champions in the form of golfer Nick Price in 1993 and diver Evan Stewart in 1994, while the late great Richard Zimba created unforgettable waves at the 1991 Rugby World Cup. But that is now history, as Zimbabwe has over the years fallen from grace, with the tennis team now struggling to come out of the lower echelons of Euro Africa Zone Group 2 tennis. The cricket team is now one of the weakest in the world, with debate going on whether they should maintain their test status. The Chevrons were one of the first teams to be eliminated from the 2015 World Cup finals after managing only one win in five games In boxing, Zimbabwe no longer is an African champion or even a regional Africa Zone 6 title holder, as Africa Boxing Union welterweight title holder Charles Manyuchi fights in Zambia and even regards himself as Zambian than Zimbabwean. Worse still, football, the Warriors have not qualified for the past five editions of the Africa Cup of Nations finals, while Zimbabwean clubs only dream of reaching the main league stage of both the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederations Cup. Although the Young Warriors have qualified for the 2015 Africa Games in Congo Brazzaville, their true pedigree is still to be tested. The only major success story is that of Kirsty Coventry, who won 7 medals at 2 Olympic Games. As Zimbabwe marks 35 years of independence, Studio 7 looks at what has really gone wrong and what needs to be done to revive the good old days.
We'll have part two of Michael Kariati's story tomorrow, but as we promised yesterday, the highlight of today's show, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu speaks with music maestro Thomas Mapfumo about the role of music in the Liberation War.
During the Liberation War, it was tough to play, Chimrenga music. It was something, I don't know how I can describe this. It was something very frightening, but we were very, very courageous to do that. Enemy of the state.
Tell us about some of the incidents where you were arrested or harassed by the Rhodesian regime.
I remember one time we played a show in Shirezi, and after the show, we went to our hotel rooms. We slept until the next morning. The next morning, I was just outside by the sunshine. Some plain clothes policemen came over to me, and then they approached me and they said they wanted to interview me at their offices. I rode with them in their car. They took me to the police station, and we went to the police station. I was asked a lot of questions about my music, and I told them that my music was cultural music. My music had nothing to do about politics. They warned me. They said I really had to stop singing about politics, blah, blah.
And there are songs such as the critically acclaimed Pamromo Chete. What were you singing about in this song?
Pamromo Chete, it was about what had been said by Ian Smith, that you would never see a black majority rule in 1,000 years.
I don't believe in black majority rule ever in Rhodesia, not in 1,000 years.
And we were answering to him, saying it was just mere talking. He was just talking. He didn't know what he was talking about. The people were going to rule in the end, and that's what happened.
And in singing Tumiraiva Nakuhondo, which literally means send your children to war, was this not more direct? Was this not putting your life in danger?
Tumiraiva Nakuhondo, it's a song that I heard elderly people singing back at home when I was living in the country with my grandparents. It's an old song. Tumiraiva Nakuhondo.
The music there of music maestro Thomas Mapfumo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare, from Oregon, I think.
Yeah, from here in Washington. Oh, Washington State, Oregon. Okay, remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about Zimbabwe's Independence Day commemorations.
A quick recap before we go. More than 300 Zimbabweans staged a peaceful protest today outside the offices of the South African High Commission, calling for an end to the current xenophobic attacks in that country.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And this is Ndimyake Mwakalielie here in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, a happy independence tomorrow. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele.